Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a three will win it. Sylvester for three. Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it, Evan Turner. He hit it just inside of half court.
They go for the ball game. Touchdown, Michael Jenkins on 4th and 1. Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with 1.5 minutes left. Holy Buckeye.
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty.
Hello and welcome back to a big time episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan here with my buddy Big Cass. And Cass, what a weekend, man. I mean, it was so much fun going to your apartment, tailgating against Penn State and everything, just watching the game. And it was honestly a great result for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it was. Other than the kicking game, I feel bad for Blake Hobbio getting hurt right before warm-ups and then going out. The dude went out and tried to go out and play in pain and missed a kick. So they bring in Dominic D'Amico, and he had a rough game towards the end. And did make a field goal. He did make a kick, but it was so wobbled. And then Jake Seibert, my boy Jake Seibert, loses his black stripes, and they're talking about how he could be doing some kicking this week. So we'll get in more into that later. But, yeah, it was a great time. Some friends and family came over for the game, and we all had a good time. And we still have a crap ton of tortilla chips from the game, but we used, you know, we're doing all right. We all had a good time and watched the Buckeyes pound Penn State, and I will say they pounded Penn State. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, they absolutely pounded Penn State. They pounded Penn State like I pounded about 10 beers on Saturday. It was just a good night overall, meeting your friends, family, taking shots of Jack with some of the people there, even though I didn't want to take shots of Jack. But it was overall a good night, other than the kicking game on both sides of the ball, because we all know that 2 second kneel down fiasco. I don't even know how that happens, because it takes like three seconds to clock a ball. Like, if we're on offense and we do it, like, snap it, throw it into the ground, it's going to take at least probably 3 or 4 seconds off. But kneeing it doesn't take 2 seconds off. I know Mr. Ohio, he posted the video where I guess it was like 1.87 seconds. But, like, clocks don't go fractionally. Like, I don't know. Something didn't seem right about that call that the refs did. It was just ridiculous. I mean, but kicking wise, it was just an ugly night for Ohio State. Blake Hobbio, 0-for-1, had 2 extra points. Like you said, Dominic D'Amico had a field goal, missed 1, 3 extra points. But even on the punting side, like Drew Chrisman, he had an ugly punt
early. He had one go off the side of his foot.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But when you punt like once a game, that's good. That's rough.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible. He went 2 for 77 for a long 40. The other one was 37 yards. Just not like what you're used to seeing from him. Mm-hmm. But other than the kicking game, you got to be pleased. Not much to complain about, other than, I guess, Sean Wade getting burnt three times. But
I wouldn't say he got burnt, though. Like, here's the thing. Two of the plays was great coverage. The one, the Dotson pushed off when he made that one-handed catch. There's no doubt in my mind he pushed off just enough to keep Sean Wade off balance.
Yeah, I mean, it did look like a push off. The other one was just a ridiculous catch. Dotson was a stud. Like, I predicted he was going to have a good day. I didn't know he was going to score three touchdowns, 140. Well,
the first one was against Seven Banks.
Yeah, I mean, he played out of his mind, Dotson. Yeah,
and the last post route. I mean, I just watched highlights. The last post route, the safety and Sean Wade were lazy. It's like they didn't try. That was in the fourth quarter. That's what I want to talk about, is how lazy the play calling how lazy the defense got in the fourth quarter. It was atrocious. High State could have scored 50 plus points.
I do agree. You're absolutely right there. I mean, the play, like, I feel like Ohio State knew they were going to coast in the second half. Because, I mean, look, they came out, they set the tone early, going up 14-0. Once they went up 14-0, I thought the game was basically over at that point.
Yeah, they coasted. Justin Fields is unreal. I thought the running game, the defense on the line was outstanding.
Jonathan
Cooper. The stats don't see it justice on how impactful Jonathan Cooper was in that game.
No, he only had half a sack, but he also had, you know, he also pressured that one guy right into, I believe it was
Zach Harrison.
Zach Harrison, who you know, got a sack. No, Jonathan Cooper.
It was
Togiai, I think.
No, it was Togiai. The first one was Togiai, and then the second one is Javeen Baptiste.
Yeah, he did it like twice, Cooper. It was like he was making plays that weren't going to show up on the stat sheet, but like he was doing an awesome job just for breaking down the pocket and everything. Togiai, absolute monster. It looks like Ohio State has two unreal defensive tackles, which, like, if that's a strength of our D-line, just two big Polynesian guys up the middle or whatever, we're going to be good.
Yeah, and Sam Hubbard Zach Harrison entered his own Sam Hubbard by tackling the quarterback and the running back. That's where the Zach Harrison they marked that down as a sack or a TFL. Remember when he tackled both of them? He put it in Sam Hubbard. But I want to talk about Tough Borland. I feel like Saturday was Tough Borland's best game as a Buckeye. I don't know that I don't have his stats right now, but I was watching these highlights and I was watching a little bit of film on him. He was all over the field. He was all over the field with the, you know, around the ball. I feel like this was one of Tough Borland's best games.
He definitely played well. It's funny, 'cause I think we talk about this every other week. It's Tough Borland had a bad week or Tough Borland had a great week. So I think this week we're due for a bad one, and then he'll play good against Maryland. Bad against India. It's just every other week it flips. But you're absolutely right. He did play extremely well. Had a, I guess, half a tackle for a loss. They're marking it down. I mean, just overall, the defense
was solid.
Even Josh Proctor. Proctor, I thought, had a really good game on Freiermuth. Marcus Hooker had a pick, almost returned it for a touchdown, had 31-yard interception return.
Let's say this. When that happened, we both looked at each other and said Malik would have scored.
Yeah, we did. We did. We're like, Malik would have scored. No, but Marcus Hooker's really good. He's just not quite Malik yet, but like he's a stud, and I'm glad he's developed into the player he's really becoming. Because, you know, when he came as a freshman, he had that whole DUI issue. People weren't sure if he was going to develop or not, if he was going to take it seriously. It's clear that, you know, he's kind of exactly like his brother, a late bloomer. He has to develop into the safety, and he's really, you know, he's showing his true form, and it's awesome to see. And I hope he continues developing like the way he is, because we got a special one back there playing center field if he keeps it up. But I just want to say, Josh Proctor, we were lining him up on the tight ends like Freiermuth, and he was winning those one-on-one battles against like those tight ends. Like, we were manning him, it looked like. And he also, you know, I think recovered a fumble. That's what we kind of need. I mean, because we need a guy who could kind of play the slot almost. I mean, it's not the slot because you're covering the tight end, but it almost felt like they were using Proctor in what Sean Wade's role was last year.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna happen. Now it's definitely going to happen because, unfortunately, Cam Brown is out for the season with a torn Achilles. And we both looked at there and we thought, okay, cramp. Because the way his leg was sit was a cramp. But then, unfortunately, a torn Achilles just sucks for the young man. So now we get a bunch of guys like, you know, Tyreek Johnson, Lathan Ransom, Legend Covacious, Marcus Lathan Williamson.
Lathan Ransom had a tackle in the game. He made a nice appearance at the end. Marcus Williamson's been playing. We forgot to mention him. He was playing good. He had a good first game against Nebraska.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's time for Tyreek Johnson to step up. It really is. He was a five-star guy. It's really time for him to start.
Yeah, it really is. I would like to say one thing. I think we got to be – Baron Browning, he had a good game, but that it's not the roughing the passer call because that was a terrible call that got me. But I was watching some of the tackles. He's got to be careful with leading with the helmet because – there was at least two or three plays where I rewatched that he came very close to like hitting Clifford in the helmet, and he's very lucky that one of them they didn't throw the flag on for targeting.
Can we talk about how inconsistent the targeting call is?
It is.
Every time it seems like if we send a guy freelancing on a blitz, the quarterback ducks. Because here's the thing. Our pass rush is so good, even when we send a freelance runner blitzer, our pass rush is so good that sometimes it gets there before that blitzer gets there.
Yeah, absolutely. They just need to be aware of it, I think, Browning. But, overall, really no complaints on defense.
Yeah. On offense, I have no complaints. No complaints.
No.
Trey Sermon had a good game. Master Teague was over 100. Justin Fields, front runner for the Heisman. I don't care. I don't know this notation of Mac Jones being a front runner. Mac Jones has the three best receivers in college football. Where now he's got two.
I guess I can get nitpicky here. There's like two things that bothered me on offense looking back on it. And it's so minor. It's just I would have liked Wyatt Davis. He got blown up by number 55 on one of those plays, and then Fields got sacked. But I remember I turned to you. I was like, you know what, though? Fields could have avoided that. He had all space to move to. He was, right there. That was kind of more on Fields, not Wyatt Davis. The left tackles, though, both tackles are playing out of their minds.
Harry Miller had a nice game.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it's funny. The lineman who probably had the – Not a bad day, but probably the worst out of the group was Wyatt Davis because he gave up one sack. And that's our man on the line. That's like the number one guy. So overall, I'm pretty pleased with the line. I would have liked to see them give a carry to like Steel Chambers or two. Not that it was absolutely needed, but I think he earned some touches from what we saw in the Nebraska game. And I was just a little surprised they didn't sneak in him a touch near at the end.
I think the way that Teague and Trey Sermon were running that, I think he got lost in the mix. I really do.
And yeah.
So I really like where the offense is rolling. This offense is so lethal. Luke Farrell, I think he's banged up still. I think it still may or may not play this week, but that's fine.
It's all right. We have Jake Hausman. He had a nice catch for 13 yards on that play where Justin Fields was falling over. I mean, he's a good third tight end to have.
Jeremy Rucker he can block. Like, now the kid can block. I love me some Jeremy Rucker. I think overall as a team was an A-. I just think they took their foot off the gas and they could have scored more. I really do think so.
Yeah. And one more thing, I think I would like to see them establish a third receiver. Because right now, the distribution, if you're looking at it, it's really Olave and Garrett Wilson. Those are the two receivers. I would like to see them maybe target like Jameson Williams more, get him a little more involved. He had, I mean, he had a decent game, 2 catches, 23 yards. Just, I want to see them get, you know, a third receiver involved a little more.
I
Rucker kind of took those looks, yeah, though.
I agree a little bit, but when you have Rucker catching the ball, and you have, and then you can throw JNB, that's what I'm calling, JSN, that's what I'm calling.
JSN.
JSN, yeah. Jameson Williams and Rucker, you could have Garrett Wilson and Lave be studs all day and then have those three to go back on.
Yeah.
But I do agree that you're going to need two more guys to start getting some more reps. And this is a perfect time now with Rutgers and Maryland in back-to-back weeks to get some of these guys some time. So when we do get into later in the season with these tougher teams, we have those guys with game reps.
Yeah, absolutely. I just would like to see, it's just more, I'm more concerned if like something happened to Olave or Garrett Wilson, like who's going to be then the guy to step up to relieve the pressure on whoever else. But I'm like, it's not too concerning because, I mean, Penn State, that's probably a game where you're going to have to rely on your top dogs to begin with. You're not going to be padding the stat sheet. It's just more important to get in, get out with a win. Buckeyes did it convincingly, and we move on to Rutgers. Night feisty game again. Feisty. You can't, as the one guy mentioned on Twitter for the first time ever, you just can't let Rutgers hang around, man. But seriously, it's like a 38-point spread already. I honestly think Ohio State's going to cover. I really don't see – Rutgers is definitely better. They're going to be feisty. They're going to fight a lot harder. But on paper, they just don't – they don't scare me still. They're better.
Yeah.
But
they got a lot of older guys. I do like their running back.
Pacheco, yeah.
Pacheco.
He gives problems because – he can do it all. He can run and catch out of the backfield. So that's the offense kind of runs through him mostly.
Yeah, I like Pacheco.
Bo Melton, he's their go-to receiver. I think he scored a touchdown in every game this season. He had that long, that crazy, I don't know if anyone listening watched the replay of that Rutgers, like, I don't even know what you call it. It wasn't football. They were just throwing the ball, lateraling mania, whatever it was. And then Bo Melton scored. They called it back though. Apparently I think a lineman was down or something. It was just go back and watch the play. It was the most hilarious play I've ever seen. But overall, like Nick Vedral's their quarterback. He has more interceptions than touchdowns this year. I will say though, it is an improvement. I thought
it was Noah Verdell was their quarterback.
Oh, Noah. I thought it was Nick Vedral. It's Noah. Noah Vedral. Vedral.
Vedral, whatever. Yeah. He's a senior. They're okay. I mean, for a MAC school.
Yeah.
But I do like Pacheco. I'm going to let you know. And this is – this is not a bold statement. This will be a true statement. Brendan White will be their leading tackler this weekend.
Yeah, he's going to be playing with some passion. Yeah, it's literally going to be Keiondre Jones 2.0 from Maryland last year against Maryland. Like Keiondre Jones, I think, had a sack. I think led him in tackles last year. The question is Brendan White going to snitch to the NCAA to try to get like Justin Fields or someone suspended for this game like Maryland did?
I doubt it. I don't think there's bad blood between Brendan White and Ohio State. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch Brendan White out there, but I don't think he'll get a turnover. I think Olave and Wilson can get over top of him and get a big touchdowns. They're already predict. Some people are predicting Justin Fields to have 5 touchdown passes in the first half. I mean, I could see it.
But I could too. I think this year, I think the team is going to respect Rutgers a little slightly better just because they know they have Brendan White on the team.
Greg Schiano.
They know it's more – not personal, but I think there's more motivation this year. I think Rutgers has a win too. So they're not sleeping. They're not going to sleepwalk through it. Because last year I went to the game, they kind of sleptwalked through it. Like they did not show up and put – like had a great – like they weren't – you could tell they weren't going full throttle. They had their second string guys in the second half. They cruised to like a, you know, 50-something, 21 win. It wasn't anything, you know, that the Buckeyes are really gunning for. But I think this season's different. Mm-hmm. You got to have your pedal to the metal, and they're gonna come out and honestly kick the snot out of Rutgers. I think it's gonna be closer. It's gonna be like 63.
Let's enter our Tennessee Jeff here. It's going to be close when the coin toss is.
Mm-hmm.
So keys to victory. I know this, guys. This is a short episode. It's Rutgers. It's a short episode. So there ain't much to preview. They did force 7 turnovers, but a lot of those when I was watching the Michigan State game, rewatched that. I didn't rewatch the Indiana game. There was no point. There was really no point. Like Rutgers was not in that game. They need to force turnovers, and they forced a lot of turnovers against Michigan State inside Michigan State territory. So it was easy for Rutgers to score 38 points, to be honest. So keys to victory for Ohio State: don't turn the ball over, don't get too cute, just manhandle Rutgers, and that's it.
My key to victory is: don't catch COVID.
Stay healthy.
Show up to the game. That's it.
Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. Don't catch COVID. Just literally stay. I'm honestly more concerned about them catching COVID before the game than, because like if we play this game, that's another win or 3-0. We're easily probably God forbidding some crazy outbreak happens with a team like Wisconsin just had. We will reach at least a 6 game.
What the hell is going on in Wisconsin? Like,
I don't know, man. They're cursed or something.
One more canceled game, and they're done.
Yeah, they can't make the bowls, what? I think, or whatever. It's 6-0.
Might as well cancel the season.
Yeah. I'll feel good after this just because Ohio State will be 3-0. We have some wiggle room. God forbid a game gets canceled. At least, you know, 3-0. We'll be all right.
I'll feel more comfortable once we hit 4 or 5.
Once we beat Indiana, once we're 5-0, I think we'll be pretty good.
Yeah. That being said, I got to get my score prediction. I am saying 65-6, 2 field goals.
I'll say 63-7. They'll get to fire the cannon in Piscataway. they'll get one little blast off at the end.
Will they actually fire that with no on a road game?
I don't know.
I think Ohio State should let them bring that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Just put it on the team equipment bus.
They could borrow the Blue Jackets cannon. Like it's the same thing. yeah, it's gonna be a massacre. But let's move on from Rutgers. Let's talk about some basketball.
Hardwood, yeah. Action.
Some hardwood action.
I'm excited for Ohio State basketball.
Yeah, it's like right here. It kind of snuck up on us.
Because of this stupid season?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, I forgot to do my history of Rutgers versus Ohio State. Let me do that real quick.
Do your history, then we'll talk some basketball.
There ain't much. Dan's going to look up the basketball stuff real quick. All right. Ohio State all-time against Rutgers, 6-0, started in 2014, current win streak 6. Largest margin victory, 58-0. Ohio State, we don't need to do the all-time record. They are still second, 926 wins, blah, blah, blah. Rutgers is 92nd out of 131st with a 49.5% win-loss record. They are 43rd in national championships with 0. One conference championship. They are 113th in the country. They have 655 wins with 669 losses and 42 ties. They have 63 Okay, get this. 63 draft picks of all time with 91st in the country. Ohio State has 463 draft picks. Weeks in the AP poll, Ohio State's first and at the top, 926 weeks in the AP poll. Rutgers has 3 first-round picks of all time. Ohio State has 84. And weeks in the AP poll, 38, 83rd in the country. That is your history, Ohio State versus Rutgers.
Just thrilling. I'm sure you all really were dying to hear that, but there you go.
I'm doing it every year. It's a COVID year. I want to do something different, you know, spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. All right, some basketball talk. So kind of a crazy week in basketball. Kind of got started with basically our graduate transfer from Utah State, Abel Porter. He is – before his basically his Ohio State career could get even started, it's done. He's – my understanding is his career is done because he's a graduate transfer. Basically, he has a heart condition not related to COVID. That's kind of important to touch upon. It is – hypertrophic cardiomyopathy heart disease, according to 11 Warriors. Not sure what that is. Not a doctor. You could look it up yourself. Basically, though, that's going to end his basketball career. It's very tough just because, I mean, I'm sure that young man was definitely excited to come play at a big-time basketball school coming from Utah State. And it kind of leaves a hole for the Buckeyes in the backcourt because he was expected to probably, you know, be a big contributor off the bench this year, probably like a sixth or seventh man they were projecting. So that's a big blow to the Buckeyes. But there's an even bigger blow, sort of, because they were supposed to start the season on November 25th, and about what is it, 20 days from now?
They have to Thanksgiving.
Against Memphis in, you know, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Like, you know, everyone wants to go to South Dakota. That's canceled. So now they're looking at other options basically to see where they're going to play.
Well, the crossover classic in Sioux Falls with Memphis, Dayton. I wonder if Dayton also canceled this. So if Dayton also canceled this, because Ohio State is one of the 8 teams in the tournament of the Battle for Atlantis, with Ohio having a 50.6% of a 14 quarantine advised by Ohio's Department of Health with COVID testing.
It's so far, Ohio State is the only team to have pulled out. And it's really just due to the COVID in South Dakota.
I'm thinking Dayton would. And if Dayton does, there's your matchup.
Yeah, I could see. That would be a nice little match. Have them play at what's it? We talked about this
nationwide.
With Joe. Not nationwide. They have by the fairground. It's like the crappy little arena. What's it called? It's where they have all the
at the state fair.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, what's the arena called?
The
Ohio State Fair Arena.
Oh my gosh! I used to know this.
Taft Coliseum. There we go.
The Coliseum.
Yeah, that would be a cool little matchup. I don't know what's going to happen, though, to be honest.
I'm in Cincinnati.
Yeah, or honestly, we'll play him anywhere. I want to see that game so bad. On the bright side, though, Jimmy Sotos from Bucknell, who's honestly probably on paper supposed to be definitely a big-time contributor because he averaged over 11.5 points last year. His waiver got approved, so that's huge. Like, we're adding a really good score. I mean, I'm excited for this team. It's just going to be if –
you keep forgetting Seth Towns is on this team.
Yeah, I heard he's a little banged up now still. He's going to have to work himself back into playing shape. But I'm excited for this team. I mean, this team, they got some shooters. They got some good scorers. It's just going to be getting really
Kyle Young. I want to see the development of Dwayne Washington.
Yeah, I think he's going to be in for a big year. I mean, you saw flashes last year where he was really taking over games. I think this year he's going to be in for a huge year. I mean, the strength of this Ohio State team is finally some guards who can shoot. I feel like it's it's been forever since we can say that. Usually we had to play through like Caleb Wesson. But now it's going to be the guards. And all my concern is just, do we have a big man who can really, you know, just
his name is play EJ, his name is EJ Liddell.
EJ Liddell, yeah, and Kyle Young. Hey, if they, hey, I'm fine with that duo. And then we have Diallo if there's someone huge. I think what you got to go with.
I think the starting lineup will be C.J. Walker, Dwayne Washington. The small forward position I would think would be Seth Towns, but with him still being kind of banged up right now, that's still up for grabs. And then you got E.J. Liddell and Kyle Young to be the as your power forward and center.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think all in all, it will be Seth Towns as the small forward.
And Seth Towns.
We also forget the kid from Cal that got transferred. He's going to be in, and Musa Diallo.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Justice Suing.
They got a lot of people, honestly.
I think Justice Suing, Diallo, and Seth Towns will be fighting for that small forward spot.
This is who I got. I got point guard, obviously, C.J. Walker. Shooting guard, Dwayne Washington. 1-2, boom. Then I'm going to say Justice Suing at the small forward. I'm going to say E.J. Liddell, power forward, Kyle Young, center. And then we're going to have off the bench like Musa Diallo, Jimmy Sotos, Seth Towns. I mean, we got a lot of shooters. Justin Ahrens off the bench. Like, we have so much depth at like point guard to like the wings. It's just really like power forward and center. Those are the two positions that kind of concern me.
Yes, could be concerning, but with all that depth could really help because Ohio State in Holtman's first year, they were a lot successful with playing small ball.
They were. You're absolutely correct. So we'll see. I'm jazzed up for the season.
Oh, I am too.
I believe, because I have to look up the new time. Well, actually, no, I false. They haven't even released the schedule yet. So we're kind of just waiting on that.
I thought they released their first 10 games.
Let me pull
that was hockey. That was hockey. Never mind.
Because Ohio State, I don't think they've released a Big Ten schedule. Like, we know they're playing, like, North Carolina.
And Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's technically the first game, December 8th. And then North Carolina, December 19th. Other than that, though, it does not appear the Big Ten has released the schedule, if I'm not mistaken. So we're kind of
get on that, Kevin Warren.
False. First game is actually a home game, December 2nd, Morehead State. Then Alabama A&M, December 5th, at Notre Dame, December 8th, December 19th, North Carolina. So, like, we got the non-conference schedule. Like, honestly, the Big Ten schedule, it's for the most part, it's always the same thing. It's like we'll play, like, Illinois or Iowa just, like, right after New Year's Day. Then probably Michigan State early. We get worked by them. We'll win against, like, Maryland, and we'll be Michigan probably. Then we'll lose 5 straight games to like Nebraska, Rutgers, and then we'll win 10 games, and then we'll lose to Michigan State at the end of the season, go to the tournament. That's what I'm predicting. It's every freaking year it feels like with this team.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Moving on, it was not a good weekend for our buddy Jim.
No, and it's still not good because I've been hearing rumblings that he's interested in going back to the NFL. This is short coming after their 27-24 loss to Sparty. They looked so good against Minnesota. Joe Milton was the second coming of Cam Newton and the front runner for the Heisman, according to some. I wouldn't say front runner for the Heisman, but he was inching into the Heisman conversation. To them getting beat by Michigan State and him throwing the ball 51 times, Joe Milton is the pre-Snickers version of Cam Newton. You heard it here.
It's sad. It's sad what happened to that team up north. Not really. I'm not sad at all. It's just hilarious because Don Brown once again, his defense reared its ugly head in a big game. They got absolutely torched by a true freshman, Ricky White, and Rocky Lombardi, who is suddenly turned into a decent passer. He looked horrible against Rutgers, and out here he's looking like Tom freaking Brady, just literally one-on-one, Ricky White, go deep, yacht, touchdown. Like, unreal. Like, it was just hilarious watching that game. And I mean, it's just Michigan State, that's a great win for them. I'm happy for them. They're probably not going to win many more games. It's just Michigan is so bad. And Joe Milton, after the game, he didn't know who number 34 was on Michigan State, and he was their leading tackler. So that just goes to show you the preparation. And I don't know if it was lack of preparation, because there's two ways you could kind of take that. It's either they were very one unprepared, who Joe Milton didn't know who number 34 was on Michigan State, or it was the fact that Joe Milton knew who number 34 was and wouldn't give him the credit for having a good game. If that's the case, that's fine. I respect that, because you're just like, oh, I'm not going to even acknowledge that guy. Fine. That's what a rivalry is. But Michigan got worked.
Yes, they did. And it's great. I can't even fathom. I thought it was funny. I laughed. Michigan fans are quiet. And we move on.
Yeah, well, we do. It's time for our dumb picks of the week.
Yeah, real quick, before we get in dumb picks, Ohio State landed a huge tight end, number 11 tight end in the country for the, I think, 2021 class?
I think it was 2022.
2022.
Yeah.
Gosnell from North Carolina.
Yeah, huge get. I mean, I think after seeing probably what Jeremy Rucker did on Saturday, I think that definitely had a huge impact there.
Absolutely.
But let's get it. Dumb picks of the week. We're going to start tomorrow night, because we got two good ones, actually.
By the way, Mac action is back.
Yeah, it was good watching that. It was nice watching that.
Zito put the hammer on Bowling Green.
They did. By the way, if you're listening to this, we were the first ones with Sir Yacht to have that. He broke that news on this podcast. Just want to point that out. We helped sort of save the Mac. Not really.
I like Sir Yacht, but he's getting on my nerves about the fact that Cincinnati is in Kentucky. It's getting on my nerves. I'm just teasing everybody.
Kind of is in Kentucky, but I'm not. I'm just
no, it's not.
Yeah, it's funny. All right, dumb picks of the week. We got number 11 Miami. They travel to NC State, but here's the key. It's at NC State. NC State's 4-2. Miami's number 11, 5-1. NC State's, though, mascot, their dog died recently. So this game is going out to their mascot. I believe, let me get the name, NC State. Tuffy 2. Yeah, Tuffy 2. NC State's dog, Tuffy 2, their mascot, died after being treated for heart disease. So that's brutal, man. I mean, if Kevin Warren was their commish, they probably would have canceled the season, because they probably would have blamed it on myocarditis or whatever. But I got NC State in this one. The U's dead to me. This one's for Tuffy too. Tuffy too. NC Miami's dead to me after what they did against Clemson.
Give me the Hurricanes.
All right. We got that. I mean, tomorrow's honestly a great night of football for like a Friday night. We got number 9 BYU, number 21 Boise State.
Let me tell you something. Boise State on a Friday night, 9:45 in history, they've beaten some top 10 teams in the past.
They beat Oregon, and then LeGarrette Blount punched that one.
Give me the Broncos with the upset. I'm taking Boise State.
Absolutely. Give me the Broncos. Boise State's going to expose BYU. BYU hasn't played anyone good. Boise State, they're going to be good. On this one.
This is the battle of teams that should be in the Big 12, by the way.
It is. It really is. All right. Noon. We have that team up north, number 23. I somehow still ranked versus number 13, Indiana. Bloomington.
Give me the Wolverines.
Oh, give me the Hoosiers, baby. It's Hoosiers are riding a high. It's at home. The spread's only -3, Michigan. So it's when they played Penn State, it was -6.5. I got Indiana on this one.
Give me the Hoosiers. Give me the Wolverines.
I that's fair. Moving on. This is just such a good weekend of college football. Like, it's unreal, actually. Like, good Friday games, good Saturday games.
You got to do some Pac-12 action.
We will. 3:30, we have the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Dumbest name for a rivalry. But it's
Florida-Georgia. Give me the Gators.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Gators here. Absolutely.
They want it more.
Not even that they want it more. I just think their offense is so much better. Like,
they want it more because their coach fights for them.
I agree. did you see his press conference wearing a Darth Vader uniform?
Yeah.
I mean, outfit? He just showed – it was just hilarious hearing Dan Mullen's voice in, like, a Darth Vader costume. Talking about, like, his team fighting. It's like your team just had a massive brawl, and you decide to come to a press conference in a Darth Vader uniform. I don't know if it's if he's just a moron or if that's just genius, because it's like –
And he gets kicked out of the game, and he comes back and waves at the crowd and gets fined $12,500.
Hilarious, man. I got Florida just after that whole fiasco. They deserve it. We got – moving on.
Arizona State and USC at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Fox.
So noon, yeah. That's going to be the players going to have to get up at like 5 a.m. for that one.
I kind of like it. I really do, because I can't wait to watch the Pac-12. This game, I believe, is going to come down on who's going to win the Pac-12 South. For some reason, I like the Sun Devils.
I do too.
I like the quarterback's nice, but I think Herm Edwards will have his team ready better than Clay Helton.
I was going to say exactly. I just feel like Herm Edwards.
He's old. He likes to wake up early.
He's a morning person. That's exactly what I'm thinking. And just like, all right, what team is going to be more excited to wake up at like 5 a.m. for a football game? Arizona State or
kids from
USC?
LA.
And I think, too, Arizona, they don't celebrate like daylight savings or something. They have a weird like time zone thing. So I feel like that's kind of a factor you got to put in. So, yeah, give us the Sun Devils, because that's a weird one. But I agree with you, Cass. Sun Devils all the way.
Yep. I had to
pick that one.
There's a couple night games that I like, too.
Yeah. We got a few more. We got about two or three more. Stanford, Oregon, 7:30. I'll probably flip to this one during some commercials of the Rutgers-Ohio State game. I got Oregon.
Oregon.
I got Oregon. It's at Oregon. I don't think Stanford is the team they were. But we'll see. That's a nice rivalry game in the Pac-12.
Absolutely. Sorry, I yawned.
Unacceptable.
Okay, and then last but not least – let's do some more Pac-12 action. I know this is kind of stupid. Actually, this would be a stupid, arrogant pick. We'll get to it later. Clemson at Notre Dame. Give me Notre Dame just because no Trevor Lawrence. Boston College should have beat Clemson. But once – this is my prediction. Notre Dame will win this, but when Trevor Lawrence gets back and they play again in the ACC title game, which is bogus because Notre Dame shouldn't even be playing at all. But the ACC gave in to him. And I think when Trevor Lawrence comes back, Clemson will beat Notre Dame in the ACC title game. Give me the Irish in this one.
I could not disagree more. Don't get me wrong. I'm pulling for Notre Dame. Like, as an Irish man, they owe me. They owe me because they appropriate my culture. They're like what the Washington football team is to like the Indians, except to me, I'm an Irish guy, just a fighting drunk Irish. They appropriate my culture. So they should win. Like, I want them to win because I'm Irish, but they're not. They do this every year, Cass.
It's in Notre Dame.
It's a Notre Dame tradition. They're the most overrated team in college football, along with that team up north. I don't know who it is. This game might take the cake because I think Clemson is going to beat them by 20, 21 easily without Trevor Lawrence. I think Boston College is way better than Notre Dame. I think Boston College caught Clemson by surprise and they just weren't prepared because it happened such short notice with Trevor.
It depends what color pants Clemson wears. If they come out in the orange pants, it's over. Clemson's win.
Yeah. I think this one's a wrap. Like they're going to walk out. Clemson's just on a different level than Notre Dame. They're going to get exposed. I got Clemson all the way, but I'll be cheering for Notre Dame, but they're not going to win.
I like Notre Dame in this because Trevor Lawrence is out. I mean, Clemson's defense got exposed. It really did by an average offense in Boston College.
They are average, but like Notre Dame's offense isn't good. they're literally just the same offense as Boston College. You can make the argument.
Yeah.
Like Ian Book, he has regressed. Like he can't throw the ball. I don't understand how a guy who led his team to the college football playoff two years ago has gotten so much worse as he's gotten older. I've never seen anything like that.
JT Barrett. I'm just kidding.
Don't you slander our Lord and Savior. He was going off in the spring league throwing dimes.
According to a lot of Buckeye fans, JT Barrett, but I don't agree either. I love JT. He's our Lord and Savior.
He is.
But anyways, let's go to our arrogant, stupid picks. How about two programs that were pretty good in the 90s that just kind of suck butt now in the 2000s? UCLA at Colorado. I don't even know. Give me Chip Kelly just because I only know Chip Kelly.
I had the top 25 on.
I have the total schedule on.
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull up the total schedule. I was looking only at the top 25 because I want to pick a fun one.
This one was fun because these two programs were good in the 90s. Now they suck.
Ooh. This is going to be a fun one. It has absolutely no bearing on anything, but this one has shootout, late night, nothing else on, all over it. Washington State at Oregon State. That one has two like bottom feeder Pac-12 teams late at night. I'm all in for it.
Yeah, because I'll be drunk from watching Ohio State destroy Rutgers. Actually, I won't be drunk. I'll be at my in-laws. I don't know who to pick in this game, but I'm going to go with Oregon State. They're at home.
I'm going to go with Washington State. It's going to be interesting to see I'm just interested to see how Washington State plays without, with a new coach, without Mike Leach. Oregon State, they haven't been good since Jacquizz Rodgers and James Rodgers, like an eternity ago, it felt like. So we'll see. That's gonna be a nice little late night.
Even there, they weren't really that good.
No, they're pretty mediocre. But enough of our dumb picks. That about does it for this episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, go Bucks.